pray with me this morning. Lord, we just love you. And Lord, we stand today in this place and we declare that there is nothing better than you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the new life that we have in Christ. Lord, the gift that was given to us on that first Christmas morning in this little town called Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And that man would grow to be a perfect example of who we're supposed to be and the perfect example of who you are, God. The perfect nature of you in man form who gave his life. You gave your life to pay the penalty that I deserve, that we all deserve for our rebellion and our sin against you. God, that is real love. That's what the Bible tells us. That's real love. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge that today and we say nothing, nothing is better than you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning again. Merry Christmas. It's just so hard to believe that here we are the week of Christmas. I just want to tell you, as your pastor, if you haven't received the order yet, it's probably time just to go ahead and plan otherwise. All right, I've got a couple orders that I'm still waiting on that Amazon promised would be here, and I'm getting a little bit worried. All right, but it's okay, because the real gift we know is Jesus Christ. I brought this in, the little baby Jesus from the nativity scene this morning, because we're going to be talking about baby Jesus this morning. But we're not going to be going in the typical place that you would normally find him in the Bible. So if you want to go to John chapter 1, this is where we're going to be. We're going to take a little break from Matthew and just really focus on Christmas, focus on Jesus this morning. While you're looking up John chapter 1, I have to just piggyback off of what Corbin was talking about with the Christmas cookies, cocoa and claws. I had to write that in there, Lauren, so I would remember it. I wouldn't get it all mixed up, but what a great day. There were so many people were so just desperate to be around people, just desperate to see the Christmas spirit and to see the Christmas things going on and see people with smiles on their face and joy and all the things that we enjoy this time of year that remind us of the season of Christmas. And I had somebody come up to me. Actually, I had several people come up to me and they gave me praise. He said, "You're doing great things here at this church." And I'm telling you, and I wasn't just saying just to act like I'm humble or anything like that. I said, "Listen, I said, look around at all the workers. I said, I didn't do this. I didn't plan this. This wasn't my idea. I didn't set all this up. I said, this is what a healthy church does. I said, the church is doing it and God is doing it," just like Corbin was saying. And so I can't tell you how amazed I am, which I shouldn't be. When God answers my prayers, I've been praying, and my prayer the whole time I've been here has just been, "God, continue to raise up more workers," and He's doing it right before our very eyes. And so I'm just so humbled by it, but so encouraged by it. So I had to throw that in there before we go any further. So today, as we look at John chapter 1, I'm excited to share this message because the youth group, they know just Wednesday night we talked about John. The last 2 weeks we've kind of talked about the eternal nature of Jesus and how we get caught up in the Christmas holidays and all that. But do we really stop to think about Jesus and who he was and who he is and who he's always going to be? I'm excited to share this message because it's been on my heart. And me and Jenny have been talking a lot about it the last couple weeks at our house about the divine greatness of Christmas. See, we know the world wants to minimize Christmas, right? They want to call it what? Happy holidays, right? I hope you have a happy holidays. We know that. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, they want to take the Christ out of Christmas. But even us as Christians sometimes can get so wrapped up, no pun intended. A few of y'all caught that. We get so wrapped up in the gifts and the decorations. We get wrapped up in baking cookies and setting up Christmas decorations, the lights and all those things. We hear Christmas songs about the birth of Jesus. We see the Christmas lights. We love it. It warms our hearts. We light Advent candles. We read the scripture. We put up a Christmas tree. But do we really, really stop to think about the real meaning of celebrating Christmas? Now, I know that sounds just like, oh, of course, the pastor's going to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. All right, but this is something that's really been on my heart because, you know, Jenny, you know, we said something to Lily, our six-year-old, and she just said, it's Jesus' birthday. You know, and that's great. That's exactly what it is. But sometimes we forget that Jesus wasn't created on that first day, right? He wasn't created. He was there. I'm getting ahead of myself. He was there from the very beginning. So that's what I want to really focus on today. Do we really understand the depth of what took place that night in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago? This morning, I really want us to look at three things that we need to remember this Christmas season. In fact, the sermon title is Three Things We Need to Remember About Baby Jesus. All right, so if you're a note taker, that's real original. But that's it. Three things that I want to pull out of these couple verses we're going to read that we need to remember about baby Jesus. The three things are this. Baby Jesus is eternal. Baby Jesus is the Creator. And baby Jesus is life itself. So let's read John chapter 1. And we're just going to go verse 1 through 5. And this is a very familiar passage if you've ever read the Bible, if you ever spent time in church. But I'm going to go at it from a little bit different angle this morning as we focus on Christmas. This is what it says. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Before we break this down, let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we just love You again this morning. We praise You. We say hallelujah this morning. We can't do it enough. There's never a time where we shouldn't say hallelujah and we shouldn't say praise the Lord. God, we love You this morning. I just thank You for the in-depth, sometimes hard to even wrap our brains around, eternal nature of our God that we serve, of the one and only, the great I Am. Lord, we thank You just for being You today. And we thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts today. God, help us just to set all the distractions aside, all the plans we have, anything that we have going on in our life, whatever our weariness, we're tired, whatever it is, God, that we would just listen to Your Holy Spirit this morning. Not necessarily listen to me, but listen to Your Spirit, because we know that when we read Your Word, Your Spirit goes to work if we allow it. And so, God, just soften our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this passage today is often read through, but a lot of times we don't fully understand it. And I'm guilty of that. When I started first really reading the Bible, I was like, what is he, I don't understand. What's he talking about? How is this possible? And even though it's not the Christmas story in the Bible, God has laid it on my heart to share today as we celebrate Christmas. So go back to the first two verses that we read, and I'm going to read them again like we always do, and we're going to break them down. I'm just going to talk about what's on my heart about this. So in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So here's the very first thing, just like I told you, that we see, that we need to remember about this baby Jesus that we celebrate. We so often we see the manger scene, we see pictures of Jesus, but we forget that He is eternal. The first thing we need to remember about baby Jesus, He is eternal. And we forget that little baby Jesus always was, always will be. There's never a time. Now, if that isn't enough to blow your simple human mind like I have, okay, that we're just not capable of really understanding this, there's more depth to the eternal nature of baby Jesus than we can even comprehend. So what does it mean that baby Jesus is eternal? It means that Christ was pre-existent. Okay, this means that He was there before the creation of this world. Wrap your brains around that for a minute. No, He wasn't created. He's always been. He always will be. Jesus has always existed. You see, when John says in the beginning, it doesn't mean from the beginning. There is no beginning of Jesus Christ. There is no beginning. There was a beginning of His life here on earth, but there is no beginning of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, the little baby, has always existed. And this is why John refers to Jesus as the Word. And this can be a little confusing if you never really study it. You look it up, you see the original Greek language, the Word. I was going to say the Word, But that doesn't make any sense. But the word, when he say that, was often used to describe deity. Right? And the word means to be. It doesn't say that to one day be or was. It says to be. Okay? And then, or maybe I am. Do you remember what Moses, when he was debating with God or whether he was like, God, I don't know if I can go do this, what you're calling me to do, to go down there and tell Pharaoh. Do you remember what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3? Listen what he says. But Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And I love this. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Let that sink in for just a minute. God says, I am who I am. There's nobody else like me. There never will be. There never was anybody else like me. I am who I am. I'm the one that's speaking to you from a burning bush. Can anybody else do that, Moses? I am who I am. Listen to what Jesus, is before he was betrayed and arrested later in John chapter 17, listen to what Jesus himself says. He says, now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I'm going to read that again to you. This is Jesus praying to his Father in heaven. He says, now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. See, Jesus already existed in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. The perfect nature and the perfect character of who God is. That's what we saw when we've been going through the book of Matthew. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. The best example I was telling somebody last night about that I've ever heard talk about the Godhead or the three, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was telling somebody last night, I said, man, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the Bible school teachers at the church that I used to serve at, and they were talking to a child who asked about it. Well, how can God be three people, but he's still one? And Jenny said, yeah, that was me. And I said, oh. I said, yes. I knew it was someone very wise, right? And so it was described like this. If you look at water, water is water, right? But it can also be ice, and it can also be condensation or steam. So it's the same thing. It's just in different forms, and it serves in different capacities. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. So thank you for those wise words, my bride. So Colossians 1, 15 says this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So the first thing we need to remember about baby Jesus is he was, he is, and he always will be eternal. So when you look at this little baby laying in the manger, and when we celebrate it, we see the pictures of it, and we think about it, we read the Christmas story, don't forget that Jesus, little baby Jesus, is eternal. Look with me at verse 3. It says this, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So here in verse 3, we see the second thing that we need to remember about baby Jesus is this. Number 2, Jesus was the creator. He is the creator. Let me correct myself. He wasn't the creator. It says he is the creator. So what does this mean? Well, it assures us that everything that we see, everything that we have, everything that we've ever known was created through Jesus Christ. This verse reminds me that every single detail in my life, every single detail in my body, every single detail in my soul and in my spirit, every single detail in your life, in my life, every heavenly creature that the Bible talks about, every spiritual gift that any of us have, that ever will have, any that have ever existed, ever will be, it all has come to be because of Jesus Christ. Now that makes this little baby in the manger change just a little bit our perspective of it. Again, don't take my word for it. I'm not just speculating this. Listen to what God's word says. If you go back to Colossians chapter 1, and if you go to verse 16, it says this. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He's talking about Jesus. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities of the unseen world. So you know what this tells me? It tells me that Jesus not only loves me and cares enough to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins, So not only did he love me then, not only did he love me when he allowed himself to be nailed on the cross, and he allowed that thorn, the crown of thorns to be shoved down on his head, and was mocked and all those things, but it tells me that Jesus Christ loved me when I was being created. If you don't believe that, go to Psalm 139 and see what it says about it. Many of you know that's my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. You see John chapter 1, verse 3 that we're reading right now, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 that we just read, tells me that Jesus was an active part. He was an active agent in the Godhead, in that Trinity. Even in the beginning, Jesus was with God. He was God, and he already existed. So let that sink in again. And God created everything through him. So when we look at little baby Jesus, so when we look at the live nativity that we did, we look at this little manger scene that we've got right here. I brought that out. Maybe Jesus is a little wet this morning because he was out there this morning. But I wanted to bring him in so we could really just think about how often we look at it. But when we look at baby Jesus, remember that baby Jesus, he's the creator. Nothing was created. Nothing was created except through him. What an awesome creator we serve. Amen? Look with me at verse 4 and 5. We're breezing through this morning. Look at John. I'm fired up this morning a little bit. I'm trying to contain myself and slow down just a little bit. If you're taking notes, I apologize. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says this: the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the light that Christ shined into my broken life. He goes on to say this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Here's the in these two verses, the third thing that we need to remember about baby Jesus, and that's this: he is life. He's not a better life. He's not another life. He is life. When I was praying over this message this week, and I was thinking about it, when I was studying this scripture, I was thinking about Jesus as a little newborn baby. And I pictured this little baby. Has anybody ever held a fresh newborn baby? Show me your hands this morning. Has anybody ever actually looked into the eyes of a newborn child? I'm talking about minutes old, maybe even a day old. I remember the first time I held my firstborn daughter, Grace. And I'm sorry, you didn't know that you were going to be in my sermon, but that's just how it works being a pastor's kid. I remember looking at my daughter, and I remember having this feeling with all my children, so I don't want the rest of them to feel left out this morning, but I had never been a father before. So when I'm holding Grace, and when she was born, I'm looking at her, and I was looking into her eyes, and I remember just looking into those little hazel eyes in the hospital, and I wasn't even following God at this point in my life. I was living for myself. I was living for the world, and I remember looking into her little eyes and just being amazed at how white the white of her eyes was. There was no impurity in her eyes. If you look at my eyes, man, they look beat down. They're like, you know, they're like all the stress of life. They're bloodshot. You know, there was no shame in her eyes. There was no worry in her eyes. There was no deception yet. Just kidding, Grace. In her eyes. There was no stress. There was no bloodshot. There was nothing. She was just perfectly, perfectly made. Looking around in her new life that God had given her. I remember just their eyes when they look around. They're kind of like, what in the world happened to me? What in the world? What is this? So when I think about baby Jesus and the fact that he is life, it makes me think about that new life that I have being born again in Jesus Christ. So often after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we say, God, I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to spend eternity with you, and I want to let all this go, we forget that God promises us that we are made new. Not better, but new. So no matter how much shame is in my eyes or was in my eyes, no matter how much worry, deception, stress, all the things, the burdens in my life, the bloodshot, for whatever reason my eyes are bloodshot or glassed over, whatever it is that I carry to the when I hit my knees at the foot of the cross, when I call on the Lord to be my Savior, when I say, Jesus, I want you to come in and save me. I can't fix myself. I've tried everything I can do. I've read books. I've done this. I've done this, you know, whatever. I've gone to this study, whatever. I can't fix myself. When we find ourselves in that point, and we say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and make me new. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again so I could be new in Christ and I could spend eternity and be forgiven of my sins. In that moment, we're born again. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus tells us, right? We are born again. We are made new in Christ. He fills us with His Holy Spirit and helps us work out those things in our lives while He's encouraging us that we are forgiven and that we are a child of God. So what's so powerful, and this is what's so powerful about a public baptism to me. I love, you know, baptizing somebody. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't. But I love that testimony because when we are baptized, we're showing that the world and all, we're showing the world all the things that we used to be. We're showing the world what happened to our soul. We were stained with sin. We were burdened with shame and regret. But the moment we called upon Jesus, we are washed clean. Our old life is buried with Christ when we go under that water and we rise up a new person. A new life, born again as a child of God. God looks at us and chooses to see nothing but the pure perfection. That pure whiteness in the white of the eyes of baby Jesus. That pure, untainted man who died on the cross for my sins. That's what God chooses to look at instead of my past and my sin. When God looks into my eyes, He doesn't see the ashamed, bloodshot, or the sin-stained, rebellious man that I used to be. No, He sees the innocent man. An innocent man that is faultless before His throne because of what Jesus did on that cross. That's what God chooses to look at. You see, before we have a relationship with Jesus, we're not really living, okay? So if you don't know that, I'm telling you this morning, before I had a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I wasn't really living. I was alive and I was breathing, but we really aren't living. That's why Jesus is referred to as life, and He's referred to as light, because we can be alive. We can be breathing with a pulse, but before we humble ourselves and before we cry out to Jesus and invite Him into our life, we're just stumbling around in the darkness. And I don't care how successful we are in life, no matter how much money we have, no matter how many friends we have or how good we've got it, until we have been reconciled with our Creator, until our sin has been washed away and we are brought back together into unity like God designed it because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are living in darkness. We're stumbling around in the darkness. And we're headed to hell. We are headed to hell. But again, the good news is called the good news for a reason. All right? So somebody needs to hear that this morning. When Jesus said, go preach the good news, and when the Bible talks about the good news is called good news for a reason. Because baby Jesus isn't just a baby who came and to show the world how good of a man He was and how powerful He was. Baby Jesus came to be the answer to the darkness. So when we look at baby Jesus in the manger, we need to remember that He shines light into the darkness. Remember what Jesus said. He says, what? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Christ is that beam that shined in my heart, still shines in my heart. This shows me the way. He shows me the truth. Out of all the times that I get lost and I get, even as a pastor, it doesn't matter how much you study the Bible, we're still human. Along the way, I get a little off track and I go back to Jesus. I go back to what Jesus teaches, what His Spirit tells me in my heart, what His Word tells me. And I say, okay, Jesus, you're right. I'm off track. Let me get back on the way. Every time the world speaks a lie into my heart, or maybe the devil starts putting a little doubt in my mind, and I think, well, maybe God really doesn't love me. Maybe God, how could God love me after He knows this? Or I've messed up again, even after I've been saved. We go back to the Holy Spirit, and we go back to Jesus, and we go back to the Word of God, and we look at it, and we get the truth, right? We get the truth of what God really says we are, and all that it takes for us to be forgiven. And the life. We just think about it. Where was I? Where was I before I called on Jesus? Where was I? What has God done in my life? We talked about that one time, just going back to that place where you say, no, I remember that day. I remember that day when I hit my knees and I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I became a new person. I felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. And I know the times that I pray and I speak to God that He's there with me and He listens to me. So we need to remember this Christmas that this baby, Jesus, is life. John chapter 10, verse 10. I've referred to this many times, but it says this. The thief, talking about the devil, Jesus said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. A little further in John, if you go to John chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus says this. He says, I have come as a light to shine into the dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. I am so thankful that I no longer have to remain in the darkness. Amen? So as we close, I want to say this. There's somebody here today, or maybe somebody listening online, who's been letting the devil steal their life that God intended for them when baby Jesus was with him in the very beginning. And they were working out this plan. God said, these people are going to rebel against me, but we're going to make a plan and we're going to make this happen. And we're going to redeem them because we love them. There's somebody here that needs to know that God wants them to come into the light out of the darkness. There's somebody listening today to this message that's frustrated because they've been stumbling around in the darkness for so long and they just feel like it's hopeless. I can't fix myself. I don't know what it is. I can't. If that's you today, if that's you this Christmas season, maybe the joy of Christmas season has just been robbed from you because you're focusing on the negative, or you're focusing on the past, or maybe you're focused on those loved ones that have gone on before. Whatever it is that's stealing your Christmas joy, we need to be encouraged today. Because when we look at the nativity scene, we look at this little baby who's laying right here in the manger. We just need to remember these three things that John recorded for us in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. He says, what? Baby Jesus is eternal. Baby Jesus is the Creator. And baby Jesus is life. We need to remember that today, because if we forget that, oh, how we forget that, church. Oh, how we look over that so often. Even us who call themselves Christians, we look over it. That baby Jesus existed in the beginning. That he was with God and he was God. That God created everything through him. And Jesus gives life to everything that shines, and gives life to everything and shines a light into the darkness. So as we close, I want us to ask ourselves this. Who is baby Jesus to you this morning? Who is baby Jesus to me this morning? Really think about that. And how do we look at baby Jesus? What does the Christmas story, what does Christmas mean to you? What does it mean to me today? Because if it's only about a little baby in a manger, if it's only about time spent with her family, if it's only about the gifts that are under the tree, if it's only about the Christmas music and the hot chocolate, we'll never really understand Christmas. And we'll never understand why it says peace on earth and joy to the world. We'll never understand the joy that we're supposed to have. It's so much more than a holiday. It's not a holiday. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. This baby in the manger grew up to be a man. The man that we've been reading about in our study of Matthew, that we've been looking at all the things that he's done in his ministry. And this man shed his blood to cover the cost of my sin. But I had to make the choice. Do I accept it? Do I accept the salvation by placing my faith in little baby Jesus that came, that already existed, but he still came to this broken world for me? Or do I just keep on stumbling around the darkness, trying to fight against the devil and the world by myself? I promise you today, when you make the choice to follow Jesus, baby Jesus in the manger will take on a whole new meaning in your life. So if that's you this morning, if there's something you need, maybe, I don't know what it is, that we're all dealing with something. Take it to the Lord today. Take it to Him today. If there's something I can pray with you about, I would love to pray with you this morning. But don't leave out of here today. Christmas is coming up. It's right here. Don't leave here today burdened. Don't leave here today brokenhearted. God wants to take care of all that right here today. And He wants you to be filled with joy today. Isaiah 1:18 says this. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Come now, let's settle this. He wants to settle it right now. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Whatever you need to settle this morning, let baby Jesus do it. Because guess what? He's seated right now. This little baby is seated right now in His perfect splendor and glory at the right hand of God with all authority, to not only forgive your sins, but to heal your broken heart. We sing this song, "What child is this?" This is Christ the King. That's what child this is. It's Christ my King. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing.